you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you can take them and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. We'll be looking there in just a moment. We have been looking this summer about disciplines, and this morning we're going to look at the discipline of perseverance. Life is hard. Does that surprise anybody? Life is hard. The Christian walk is hard. That shouldn't surprise you either. The last few weeks in ministry for me have been a little bit difficult. The spiritual life is not always easy, but it requires some effort and some work, and it requires determination, and it requires really a whole lot of faith. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell us that life is going to be easy, and it doesn't tell us that our Christian life is going to be easy. In fact, the Bible tells us the opposite. It says, look, difficulties are going to come, and trials are going to come, and things are going to happen, and we're going to be tempted, and you're going to be tempted to quit. And the book of Hebrews was written to a group of people who were in that position. They were written to Jewish Christians who were tempted to leave their faith and to turn back to Judaism. These were Christians who had heard the eyewitnesses' account of the gospel of Jesus. And these are people who had received the gospel. And they even had a time where they gave their life to Christ, but they're enduring persecution. Their leaders, those that have taught them, are dying off, and they're on their own, and now they're facing extreme persecution, not just from the Gentile world, the lost world, they're experiencing persecution from Jews, and so they're going through all of this stuff, and they're wavering in their thinking. Should we continue on with this walk with Christ? Should we continue on with the church, or should we turn back? And these people that the writer of Hebrews is talking to, they need to understand the importance of this decision, understand the life importance of this decision. This wasn't just a decision that affected them temporarily, but this was a decision that had eternal consequences. Life is hard. Do we persevere through or do we turn away? That was their choice. Do we keep going or do we quit? There are often times in our Christian life where we have to evaluate and make that decision for ourselves. Are we going to continue to serve in God's kingdom? Are we going to turn away? So the author of Hebrews in his passage, he compares the Christian life to a race. Not a 100-yard dash, but a marathon, a long race. And he says, you need to run this race. And if you run this race, it requires you to have endurance. It requires you to have preparation. So we live in a day where we see believers, we see even Christian leaders making the decision that they're not going to endure, they're going to walk away. We have people who have written Christian books and people who have stood in pulpits and who have preached and said, I'm not doing this anymore, and walk away. We have Christian musicians who will stand and lead thousands of people in worship and have said, I don't believe this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. And they've turned and walked away. So when trials come, when temptations come, there's that temptation to drop out. Maybe you will even say, we're just going to drop out for a little while. Maybe we'll say, you know what, I just need a break. And I'm going to take a break. And so we take this break only to realize that for some, that break continues for a long time. And some stay on a break and never come back from that break. So my goal in preaching this message as we talk today is to really look at finishing strong, looking at doing the race the right way. As the Apostle Paul said, and this is my hope for my life, is that I'll hear these words and I'll have this thought that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. We need to finish strong. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we read these words. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For considering him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So as the author of Hebrews is writing this, he's addressing a group of Christians under extreme persecution. In chapter 10, it gives us a little picture of some of the things that they're going through. In chapter 10, verse 32 through 35, it says, But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. And then verse 39 says, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the persevering of the soul. The writer of Hebrews says to them, don't turn back. Persevere. And then he goes on in chapter 11 and he gives examples of what this looks like. He starts chapter 11, he says, you had to persevere in faith. And he says, this is faith. Faith is in the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. He says, this is faith. And then he goes on and he gives his list of heroes of the faith. And these are people who lived a life and they went through the persecution, they went through the suffering, they faced the hard decisions. And these people, these heroes of the faith, they said, look, the Christian life works. It works. God is going to be faithful. And these people are willing to testify of a life of faith, a life of commitment to Christ. It says it worked for them. It'll work for the people that the writer of Hebrews is writing to. And God says, look, it'll work for you as well. Live this life. Live this life. They ran the race. They ran the race that they were given. If you go through these heroes of the faith, you'll notice that all their lives were different. Their stories were different. The things that they experienced were all different. You'll notice that none of these men and women who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 were perfect. None of them always made the right choices. None of them always did the right thing. But they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus. They ran the race that was marked for them, and they didn't quit until the race was finished. They endured unspeakable suffering and pain, and they ran. And in doing so, they became an encouragement and a challenge to the people that the writer of Hebrews is writing to, and a challenge to us. We look at some of these people. In verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Think about Noah, who built this ark. In the middle of dry land, he builds this big old boat, and Stephen took our students to go see the Ark Encounter down in Kentucky, and he had this massive, massive boat, and he endured the suffering for the reward of following God. You see in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed God by going out to a place he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith Abraham, when called by God, he went. Having no idea what that meant, having no idea what that looked like, he just went. And too often when God calls us, we say, God, I want to know where I'm going. I want to know when I'm supposed to get there. I want to know how much I'm going to make when I get there. God, I'm going to go, but I want all the details ahead of time. And Abraham went, and he trusted in God. Verses 24 and 25 says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. In verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies. And then let's look at verses 32 through the end of the chapter. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, of Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. So look, you had people, great things happen. You have cities conquered, and you have great success stories, and you have stories of suffering and stories of persecution, being sawn in two and being stoned, and you have all of these things. And what you see is here you have a people through history who look and they say, look, I persevere through these things. I live through these things because I understand something. I understand that in the end, God has something better for me. God has something better than this world. God has something better than what we're going through. What we're going through now, this is temporary. We have something that is not. Finish strong. These men and women who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, they finish strong. They receive the reward. It's like in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, it says, "Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way, not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified." This was the way these people in Hebrews, they're mentioned in the heroes of faith, this is the way they lived their life. They lived their life revealing that we serve a God who is reliable. One of the greatest encouragements that we can get from this, and these heroes of the faith, is we understand, look, we can trust God. We can trust God with all things. No matter what happens in our life, God is there. God cared for them. God honored them. God sustained them. He kept them. He blessed them. God received glory from the ways they lived their lives, and He did that for them. And God will do that for me, and God will do that for you if we persevere as we live this life of faith. But we need to make preparations. This isn't something that happens just because we go through life. We have to make preparations. Verse 1 in chapter 12 says, "Therefore, since we have this great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and a sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Look, we know where the race starts. The race starts that time we come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. The moment we come to know Him as our Savior, that for you could be as a little boy or as a little girl, it could come to some other point in your life, but you begin that race. And then at the end of that race, when the race is over, it's not when you retire. It's not when you decide you've had enough. The race is over when you stand before Jesus and you come to that point. And in between time, we have to run the race of life, and we have to run it well. The writer of Hebrews says, "Run the race that is set before you." See, your race is different than my race. Your life is different than mine. Your experiences are different than my experiences. You're going to go different places than I'm going to go. God is going to have different things for you to do than He has for me to do. But you need to run the race that God has laid out for you. Submitting yourself to Him. Following Him. Doing what He's called you to do. And then ending where you're supposed to be before Him, standing in eternity. And in order to do this, we deal with hindrances in our life. Dealing with these hindrances, there's a race to run, so we have to make the right preparations and get rid of some things that are in our life. There are some things that keep us from walking with God. And the passage here says, get rid of the encumbrances. These can be translated weights or hindrances. These are anything that keeps you from following God. These aren't necessarily bad things. As I showed the children here today, these aren't necessarily things that are sin, but these are things that become sin because of the importance they have in our life. These can be simple things, things that we might not think more of than others, but things, maybe an example. How about your phone? Can your phone be a hindrance? And you get some chuckles because you know it's true. You know, for some, we can't put our phone down long enough to sit in a worship service. No matter everything we do, we're checking that phone, and that phone becomes a hindrance to our walk with Jesus. There can be other things. It can be social media. It can be a hobby. It can be the music we listen to, or it could be TV, or it could be video games, or all these things that come in, and nothing's wrong with any of these things in and among themselves, but what happens is they become more important to us than Jesus. They become more important to us in our relationship with God. And we'll find time to do all these things, but we won't find time to spend with God. In my life, I've had to deal with some of these things. In my life, over the years, I've had things that have become hindrances to me. There was a period of my time where I was a news junkie, and every morning I would read the newspaper from beginning to end, and I'd read that, and I would go to the office. That'd be the first thing that I do. And there'd be times in my life where I wouldn't have time for my Bible study, but I always had time to read the newspaper. It became a hindrance to me. Hey, quit. Leave the news alone. Some of you need to quit watching TV. You need to quit watching the news because it has become a major hindrance to your Christian life. You know, for me, for a while, it was sports, and that was too important in my life, and I had to put that away and put it in its proper place. There were some things that I had to quit for a season, And there are some things that I had to put away never to pick back up again because I knew if I did, it'd become a hindrance again. We need to get rid of these things in our life. Get rid of the hindrance, lay them aside. Then it also says, not these hindrances, not just these encumbrances, but it also says the sin. Get rid of the sin that so easily entangles you. So at this point in the sermon, I could sit and list for you a whole bunch of sins and say, these are all the sins that you need to get rid of. But I'm not going to do that because you know the sins. You know the sins that entangle you, and there are sins that entangle you that don't entangle me. You know, there are people that get involved in some things, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, how in the world did you do that? That makes no sense to me. No way in the world would I ever get involved in that sin. But you could probably say the same thing about me. You could say, Ed, why does that tempt you? That's dumb. That would never tempt me. The author of Hebrews here says, look, you need to look at your life, and that sin that so easily entangles you, you need to flee from it. Get rid of it. Don't have it anywhere in your life. You know, the Bible talks about fleeing from the very appearance of evil. Avoid it at all costs. If there are things that trip you up, if there are sins in your life that you know those are temptations, man, you need to get as far away from those things as you can. But too often, we're afraid to confront sin. Now, I'm not talking about other people's sin. We don't mind doing that. I don't mind pointing out your sin. I'm talking about our own sin. We don't want to confront sin. We don't want to come to a point where we say, look, if I acknowledge that sin, that means I got to do something with it. And we don't want to repent and turn away from it because we like it too much. We want to hold on to it. If I confront it and I repent of it, that means I have to remove it. And if I have to remove it, that means it's going to change some things in my life. And if we're going to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, we have to be willing to deal and confront with sin. Now, too often, we hear all this talk about sin, and so we put all the focus on sin. I'm going to get rid of this sin. I'm not going to do this sin. And that's all we think about is this sin. And then so since we're thinking about it, we do it because that's all that's on our mind here. And the writer here says, look, he says, get rid of the sin in your life. And he says, and run with endurance the race set before us, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Focusing on the priority, running with endurance. Here's a picture of a runner settling in for the long haul. He's proactive. He says, there's a race ahead of me, and I'm going to do anything I can to succeed and to make it in this race. I want to compete and finish well. You know, as a student pastor, I spent a lot of years watching races. Lots of races. I've watched kids in elementary school run track day, and I have watched junior high kids run track, and I have watched high school run track, and I've been to state track meets, and I've watched cross-country meets. I've seen all these things. I've seen lots of examples of people running a race. I've watched Travis Colhavey as he runs track day, finishing the finish line with his hands raised in the air in celebration as he looks around and realizes that he beat the other kids who were a little stouter than some of the other kids, right? You see Travis doing that. I have seen races where I've watched my oldest daughter who ran junior high track, and she ran the mile, and I've seen her run these races, seldom finishing the front half, usually finishing in the back half, sometimes finishing in the very, very back half. And I've watched her finish every single race that she ran. I remember being at a track day. Monty and I spent a lot of time at track days together watching our kids. And at one particular one, we're watching Alyssa run track. And Alyssa hated every minute of track day, every moment. And she's running, and Monty is cheering her on, cheering Alyssa on to finish. And Alyssa turns, and she says, "Shut up, Dad." But she finished. She finished a race, even though she hated every moment of it. I've watched students run cross country, some as all-state runners, and some just finishing. And then I've seen those who quit. In all levels, I have seen kids in elementary school decide I'm done running and walk off the track. I've seen junior high kids decide that everybody else was too far in front of them, and so they don't run anymore. And I've been at high school cross country meets where somebody will get tired and decide that I'm done and step off the course and choose not to run. The writer of the Hebrews says, look, run. Run well. Run with endurance. Don't quit. And he says, run that race that is set before you. Again, we each have our own race to run. You can't run my race, and I can't run yours. We're called to something different. Different experiences. Our lives aren't the same. We all run. This is not a competition. And it pains me to say that because I think everything's a competition. But it's not a competition. This isn't about running better than somebody else. This isn't about, my job isn't to outrun you. My job is for you not to look better than me. That's not what we're doing. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're saying it's the race that Jesus has set out before us, and we're going to run the race to our very best ability, not so that I can beat somebody else, but so that Jesus will stand before Jesus, and Jesus will say, well done. Jesus is the one that we're looking to. Guarding our priorities as we run, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, looking to him as an example, not looking to the right or the left, not looking at the other runners. And I've been to those races where you have seen a kid who is running and there's kids in each lane next to him, and he's getting close to the finish line and he starts looking around to see who else is there. And then what happens is they get passed because they've taken their eyes off of the goal. And too many times in a Christian life, we're getting passed. We're missing out because we've taken our eyes off of the goal. As a result, we have distraction and we have defeat. Set your eyes on the one who called you to start the race. And set your eyes on the one who has called you to finish the race. And if we do anything else, we are inviting disaster to come into our life. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus who left heaven and became a servant. Consider Jesus who took on the form of man, who experienced everything that we experience as humans. And then he experienced death, and not just any death, but he's put to death on a cross. He humbled himself as a sacrifice. Paul says in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Consider him. Consider Jesus. The race that he ran, his earthly race, began in a lowly manger. And his earthly race went to a cross, killed by people who mocked him. His earthly race was spent with people all the time confronting him, mocking him, shunning him. And he went to that cross. But see, his earthly race didn't end on a cross. He was put in a grave, but his earthly race did not end in a grave. See, Jesus resurrected. He came back to life. We serve a living God. Consider him. Consider him. He's the perfect example of what it looks like to run the race. All the things that he dealt with, look to him as example. He never faltered. He never lost sight of the goal. He never quit running. He never quit. Look to Jesus. Follow him. Why did he run this race? It says here, for the joy that was set before him. I've done some studying on the cross. I've done some studying on what it looks like to die on a cross. And if I were describing death on a cross, I would use a lot of words. Joy is not one of them. I would not use the word joy, but it says here that for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Where is the joy in going to the cross? Where is the joy in dying like a common criminal? Where is the joy in being rejected by the very people that you love? Where is the joy? Well, the joy is in the redemption that he brought to you and me. Joy was in the salvation of believers. Joy was that he would know that we would have the opportunity to join him in eternity. Joy was knowing that salvation would ultimately be completed and sin would ever be destroyed, Satan forever be banished, and perfect righteousness would exist. That's the joy set before Jesus. That's the joy in competing strong, the joy set before him. Consider that. He was able to look past the cross. He was able to look past the shame. He was able to think beyond this world and see what was in the future. We, and all the things that happen, need to learn to look beyond this world, beyond our suffering, beyond the things that happen here, and fixing our eyes on the joy of our salvation for eternity. Coming to a place where our circumstances, the things in life, they no longer become a distraction to us, because someday we'll be home with the Savior. Someday, we're going to receive our reward. This is true for me, and this is true for you. Have a heavenly vision and not an earthly vision. Consider his resolve. Jesus endured. You know, not everyone that we read about in the Bible did that. There are a lot of people mentioned in the Bible. A lot of people that started strong and didn't finish strong. There were those like King Saul who early in his ministry looked to God for guidance and entered his kingdom and then he quit. And he's a person who you think, you know, God made him the first king. He had the opportunity to be listed in the heroes of the faith, but he wasn't because he quit. And you have people through Scripture who are like that. And you know people who are like that. We have friends. We have relatives who've started strong in the faith and they've walked away. You know people who have started the race and said, I'm not running this race anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. We know these people. The list can go on and on. People who had good intentions, but they didn't finish. Friends, we need to be disciplined in perseverance and finish the race that God has marked out for us. The last thing in this passage he says is, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, if we do this for any other reason than fixing our eyes on Jesus, you will grow weary and you will lose heart. If you want somebody to give you recognition for what you're doing, you will grow weary and lose heart. If you are serving God because you want God to give you some position, you want God to give you something, you're going to grow weary and you're going to lose heart. If you're doing it because you think your life is going to be better and all the things that you're suffering, all the things are going to go away, if you're doing it for that reason, you're going to grow weary and you're going to lose heart. The only way you won't is if you fix your eyes on Jesus and say, I'm doing it for him. I'm doing it for him. My eyes are on him. No matter what happens, that's why I'm doing it. And in that, you will not grow weary and lose heart. I really do want to be like Paul, where he says that I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. I want to finish strong. And this morning, if you want to finish the race, then we have to do the things that keep us on the race. Let me ask you to consider the things that we've talked about here this morning. If you're here this morning, maybe you're at a point where you're not running the race. Maybe you're not running the race because there's never been a point in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You never began the race. Maybe you're here this morning and you started that race, but at some point in your life, you got off track. And you're still running, but you're just running. There's no finish line in your sight because you have been distracted. Maybe this morning you need to ask God, look, I want to be back on the track and run the race that you have marked for us. Maybe you're here this morning and there's some things in your life, some sin, some encumbrances, some hindrances that you need to deal with today. Do what God is speaking to you to do. Listen to him.